This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
A couple of more emails to read. We got General Galen Hall on the line talking about a lot of things. Women presidents and Hurricane Katrina. And you just said you think it's a disgrace that America has to accept aid from other countries. But I told you, it's unprecedented.
Well, it may be unprecedented, but the day that the United States of America, the greatest nation in the history of the world, Phil, since the decay and ultimate disintegration of the Turkish Ottoman Caliphate, and you may not think that I admire a Muslim empire as being one of the great empires in the history of the world, but I surely do, and I'll tell you why. And I'll put it in very pedestrian terms. If you got out of line in that society, they'd take a pair of bolt cutters to it. And when I say it, I think you can use your imagination as to which extremity I'm talking about. But Phil,
let me get to some more phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686. And on the line with me is Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Huh?
Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? I like
Fine.
The show, man.
Thank you.
I just got a comment for the general. You know, I'm listening to all these comments. Yeah, I mean, everybody can have different beliefs about what Kanye said about how the government should run FEMA, all that other stuff. But what I want to say to the general is he's 65 years old. He's old enough to know. He said he lives by olden terms and all that stuff.
Well,
and he wants to use those.
I fall back into some of those terms. You
okay,
know,
let me address you real quick. If you want to fall back on all those racist terms, I'm not my uncles. I'm not my grandpa and them. So if you want to fall back on those terms and use them, you better be ready for the repercussions of what happens when you use those words.
Remember, you're speaking to a United States general. Don't calm down. First of all, I don't give a care
if you're a United States general or you work at McDonald's.
Well, all I'm saying to you is if you
don't
and
use racist terms. If you feel that you're bigger than that, if you feel that you're bigger than that and you're not racist, then don't use the term.
Oh, absolutely correct. But if you
with
and
your
I
immature
talking,
self, I mean, when you got off the phone, you said porch monkey. That really doesn't upset me because I don't know what it's like to be called a porch monkey because personally, since I've been growing up, and I am a young man, but since I've been growing up and through college and in corporate America, I've never been called that term at all.
But if I was called it,
I wouldn't be disrespected by it. But I'm going to tell you like this. You're using it in a cynical manner.
Well, I think you need to calm down.
And if you're more mature, if you're 65 years old and you're a general, then you need to respect that American flag and realize that we all have rights and freedom here.
All right, well, let me give you an example of what happened. I was sitting with General Colin Powell, who was technically my superior when I was in the United States Army, retired 2 years ago. And the general and I were having lunch, and I totally slipped up, and I said, "Would the burr head please pass the salt?" Now, that was wrong, and I apologized, and the general just waved his hand and said, "It's okay."
Wait a minute. You called General Powell a burr head?
It was just something that I fell into. You see?
Okay, I'm going to tell you like this. First of all, General Powell, how old is he? So he's from your era. So
he's your age.
He's not my age. I'm 27.
Well, no.
And I'm listening to Phil's show.
How old are you? 65?
I'm 27.
Well,
and
General
I'm listening
Powell
to Phil's show.
General Powell is 27. General Powell is 65.
That's what I'm saying. He's your age.
No,
so
you said he was 27.
No, I did not.
This guy said he's 27.
Turn your hearing aid up. I said he's from your era.
Okay.
He's from your era to where he's used to nodding his head saying, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." What I'm saying, like I said to the gentleman that answered the phone and said, "Oh, you're a big tough guy, you're going to fight a 65-year-old man." No, I'm not going to fight him, but what I am going to tell you is that now it's a new day and time, and those new words carry new repercussions. Those new words carry new pain and new feeling. And I'm telling
well,
you now,
I
you're 65,
you,
and you're not ready to match up with any of these young cats this day.
Well,
so
sir,
I think
I
you need to back
that,
up off those words. And if you're so educated,
I was in the jungles of Vietnam.
Hey, look, I'm not going to yell over
and,
you. I'm not going
to
yell over you. I'm not going
to
talk over
hold my own against some zipper heads, so
I'm not
going
to.
All right, well,
you
hold on. Everybody, hold on. Everyone, hold on. Hold on, everybody. Hold on.
I'm going to tell you
hold
like
on,
this.
Everybody.
Talk
wait,
you.
Wait, wait, wait. This is the host of the show here.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Well, look at Phil. I'm an Army veteran, and any spear chucker that.
Will you come on with that, man? You say you're throwing back in. You're
I'm
falling
tell
into
you
it.
I'm going to tell you like this. Okay, now the gentleman that answered the phone said, you know, calm down and do all this talking and all that tough guy stuff. I'm going to tell you like this, General. You 65, I will replace your hip. Don't sit here and disrespect me like that because you don't know me. I don't
like
care if you're a general from what.
All these young
if you're so educated and you're such a general and all this crap, then you should have been able to pick up a dictionary and find another word to use.
Well, look, Phil, this is the problem. All of these young porch monkeys think that they've got, they're all that.
Will you come on with that?
To whatever prostitute you find on the side of the street. That's disrespectful, but I ain't going to stoop to your level. And I'm not going to be on this phone and let you disrespect me.
I'm not disrespecting
first of all,
you.
I've got a higher level.
I think a lot of you young spirit chuckers need to back off.
Well, you see, you're doing it on purpose now. You're doing it on purpose.
I'm not doing anything on purpose.
All right, look at gentlemen. This is obviously the general is now trying to incite you.
No, I am not, Phil.
Yes, it is.
I don't mean to cut you off. This is your show. I'm going to go ahead.
Phil, he's cutting you off.
Yeah, he's not cutting me off. He's being respectful of me, and he's asking me a question.
Phil, okay, I'm sorry about that. But what I'm going to do, Phil, is because I have respect for you, and I really love your show, man. I always listen to it because it's very insightful. What I'm going to do is go ahead and get off the phone because I'm not going to sit here and let him call me that because all he can
I'm
do
not
is call behind
you.
The phone.
I fell into the word blackbird by mistake.
Would you stop it? I'm going to hang up on the general.
So you're going to hang up on a fellow white man.
Yeah.
That is so disrespectful. And he can call me all that stuff over the phone, but he won't come see me.
What do you call that kid, that Kanye West kid? What do you think that was? Ah, see, you don't have an answer for that.
I got a definite answer for that.
Here's a dumb kid.
I got a definite answer for that. First of all, we're all individuals. Second of all,
whatever.
We all have emotions that we don't know how to get out sometimes, that we don't use the right words, such as your retarded self. So therefore, I'm not mad at what Kanye said.
So you're calling me a pan face.
I think he said it at the wrong time. But it's not. I'm not saying that New Orleans happened. I live in Florida. I live in Hurricane Alley. So I'm not saying that Bush doesn't like black people, whatever, because of the response. The response was,
oh, my God, there's
period.
A woman on TV, and she's got a beard.
Will you listen to this guy?
Look, I just want to say to Chris, if I said to you, boo, did I spook you, did he hang up?
You know what I think you need to do? You know what I think you need to do, General? I think you need to take that one nut you got left from prostate cancer and shove it. Holler back, Phil.
Thank you very much, sir.
See, he said holler back. That's kind of a...
You know what, General? I'm hanging up.
You're hanging up on a... Ooh, look at that. Molly Hennenberg. Boy, what I wouldn't give for 20 years off of my life and about a bottle full of Viagra for that. Look at that.
You hang up?
Well, what do you think? I hung up. Yeah, but listen to that guy's drivel. Hey, Phil, I just fall back into those words. They don't mean anything to me. Porch monkey, porch monkey, porch monkey. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, they got some movies in the making, some movies in the works about 9/11. There's a couple of films that have either been produced. One called The Great New Wonderful about life in New York after 9/11, and that was at the Tribeca Film Festival last spring. Apparently, it was received very well. And let's see, there's a couple of more. One is a made-for-TV miniseries on ABC that'll be out in 2006. One from Paramount. There is another film called The Flight That Fought Back, and that's going to be on Sunday night. What's the date today? Yeah, it's coming up. The Discovery Channel is broadcasting a film of its own that it made called The Flight That Fought Back about Flight 93. National Geographic aired a four-hour documentary inside 9/11 last month. There's also, if you've seen, you got to see this. This is just, I don't know, man. I don't even know if you should see it, but there's a set out. The PBS series on New York, it's like about a 8 or 9 CD set on the history of New York City. It's just amazing. It was made by a guy named Rick Burns, not Ken Burns, Rick Burns. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. It's everything, man. And it's funny, I watched it after I got back from New York. But the last one, the last CD, it was made before 2001. The last installment of this series was completed, I think, in the year 1999. After what happened on September the 11th, 2001, they did a extra CD, and it is about, primarily it's about New York City and the World Trade Center, how it was built, how long it took, all of those fights that the hard hats had with the anti-war protesters in the early 70s, the guys that were working on the World Trade Center, those are the dudes with the hard hats that were beating up on the anti-war cats, and then the dude that high wire walked between the two towers, that French guy. Oh my God. And this dude's laying on the wire and he's like, woo, you know, for anybody with a fear of heights, which I got big time, looking at that guy, I can't even imagine. He said he was laying on the wire. He saw a bird flying overhead and he saw a plane. And then it tells the story all the way on up to, including, and the days following the 9/11. And it has the footage. I don't know if how many of you have actually seen the footage of people leaping from those buildings. But when you see it, and when you see the way the people on the ground react, including Mayor Giuliani, who is watching people jumping, holding his hand over his mouth, people on the ground are crying. I mean, they're watching human beings just leaping. It's messed up, man. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I remember sitting there watching that Nicholas Berg video while that poor kid got his head sawed off. But for some reason, watching those people jumping out of those buildings, you couldn't help but cry, man. And the people on the ground are in tears. And that's before they fell. They collapsed, you know. So that's like one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in my life was that. Now, these other documentaries they got, there's another one by a British director by the name of Paul Greengrass, and it recreates what happened on the hijacked airliner that crashed into Pennsylvania. Flight 93 is the name of the movie. It's a Universal movie. The ABC miniseries starring Patricia Heaton and Harvey Keitel will be hinged on the 9/11 commission report that came out last July. I was just going to tell you this much. Anything that comes, I won't even be able to watch it if it's got a typical Hollywood take on here's how we're responsible for 3,000, you know, here's how America once again is the reason why all of this bad stuff happened. If it even goes there, man, I ain't gonna even watch it. You know, I'm sick of listening to people talking about that without any proof, any philosophical background, any historical background. In other words, just idiots who've got nothing going on other than just their harebrained opinion. And if I got to see one more freaking TV movie based the 9/11 commission report, okay, that's swell, man. You know, there was another one that was called the Warren Commission Report. You remember that one? Probably you don't. That's about the Kennedy assassination. That's the one where they said one guy did it. I can't even take it. I'm going to get crazy. I'm going to go nuts. Thank God it's on ABC. I think that the pilot we did is an NBC pilot. Yeah, thank God. Whew. I got no idea what's going on with that pilot either. I got no idea whether that show is on or not or whatever, man. The mid-season pickups are supposedly were going to be announced, and they haven't. And the last I heard, we were really, you know, everybody's digging the show. But that's what I heard about our other one. And, boy, that kind of stuff. So you see how I'm trying to take my mind off of all of a sudden having to watch an ABC miniseries on the 9/11 commission report? Oh, God. And by the way, guys, when you send me an email and you say, I really used to like you because you're funny, but your politics, don't even bother. I don't care. I don't care. Stop listening to the show. Go listen to something else. Find something better. I dare you. I dare you to find something better on the air right now. If you don't like my politics, which means you don't want to listen to the show, that's fine. You don't need to send me the email. What, do you want to reach out emotionally and, like, try and reach out and change me? You ain't going to change me. It's just the way it is. I get into arguments all the time with friends of mine, especially in entertainment business, especially musicians. And these musicians, by the way, around this 9/11 thing, who are you people kidding? Let's do a benefit. I'm not talking about the cats that are doing the big ones, but there's all these little cats who want to do musicians for or do benefits for homeless musicians. What? There's a lot of musicians that are out on the street. Fine, let them stay there, man. I don't know, you know, they're just like everybody else. Some of you guys, I don't know, man, whether it's like a card that you got as soon as you picked up your guitar. There was also something that said, now you have to also be stupid. When it comes to politics, you realize that, don't you? Well, no, I didn't. Yes. When you learn how to play that guitar, also remember that you have to leave your brains where your ass usually is. But that's cool, man, because you'll be writing tunes, so nobody will care. But, you know, if you get to be as big, and when I say big, I do mean big, as the Dixie Chicks, especially that little short one, you're going to want to really be dumb when you lay it out there, okay? So you ready? Yes. Okay, good. Hey, go! I don't talk to one guy in the entertainment business, and the guys that I do are all this. Man, don't even say that. Don't do it. I can't talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. I don't give a crap. Don't do it, man. I got to work with these people. No, it's like you talk about it. I'm telling you right now, the mood out there, whether it's in movies or TV or whatever it is, if you don't have the party line, brother, you are in big trouble with some people. You got to have this whole attitude, which is, sort of quasi post-war liberal, although I heard a guy say once, now, if you can get your mind around this, this is very interesting. It's not liberal, it's liberalistic. A liberal is really someone who is, a liberal is someone who is progressive to the point of promoting what is positive. But if you're liberalistic, it means you act like you do. We got more liberalistic people than we got liberals. We got more people that act like they care, but they don't really. You got to see some of the email I get on my blog. Boy, if any more people die in New Orleans, it just boosts their morale. Look at all the people that died in Iraq. Then there's more people that are dead in New Orleans. This is fantastic. Bush ought to be out of office. God, man. I mean, well, you know, I tell you what. Rather than wait around for Bush to start something bad, why don't you cats just go ahead and blow up a building or something? You can blame it on him, man, and it's guaranteed Hillary will be in. By the way, I got a bet with a guy who emailed me. He said, I got money, says Hillary wins, you know, will be nominated or will become president, something like that. I said, oh, wow, I'll take that bet, brother. Oh, my God, I'll take that bet. Are you serious? Yeah, I'll take it. And I said, as long as you can send me proof that you can afford to lose the money. I don't have to send you anything. I emailed him back. I said, well, how do I know that you're going to pay up? You know? He's like, you know, blow it out your ass. I said, okay, fine. So you're a lightweight. He said, but no, okay, I'll do it. I'll take that bet. But it'll have to be held by a third party. We'll have to have two attorneys. Oh, get out of here. I said, I'll bet you $10,000 that Hillary Clinton will not be president of the United States. Not because she's a bad woman. Not because I don't particularly support her or like her. We ain't ready, man, for that. We just ain't ready for that, brother. Not now. Maybe if 9/11 hadn't happened and we weren't like everybody's running around waiting for the next shoe to drop. She ain't going to be elected president. Are you crazy? So here's what I'm going to do. I got 10 G's that if she gets elected president, I'll eat it. $10,000 in $1 bills. Why don't I give it to a charity? Forget that. I ain't giving it to a charity. I'm going to eat it. I'll be crapping green for months. There's not a chance on earth. And everybody's talking about McCain. Fine. He's a good man. I think he's a little wiggy. I think he's a little whacked. You would be, too, if you were hung upside down by your elbows or whatever the hell happened to him. I mean, it's horrific. I mean, he's ready to rip somebody a new one. Anyway, so these 9/11 flicks, that come out, please, please, man, don't politicize them. Just call, just for once, man, show it the way it was. Some scumbags over in a cave in Pakistan decided a little payback was due because what? Because their religion told them it was. Not because of any politics in the Middle East. Their religion says that it's an infidel. It's some guy that's pumping the oil out of the ground, man, and it's theirs. By the way, I'd like to thank Jason Worthy, who is an Air Force cat who wrote us from Kyrgyzstan. We must have this large listening base. It's like the third email I've gotten from the air base in Kyrgyzstan from these guys saying we like the show. I got another one here. This dude wants to know who did the voice on Tonga River Fever. Was it your producer, Michelle? I need to know, if only for the Spank Bank. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, Mike. And Michelle's picture is in our scrapbook, by the way, Mike. Here's one from a guy named Nick. He gives me his home address in Miami Beach, and he says he'll have a Phil banner on the roof of his house the next time the satellite goes by to take pictures up for Google Satellite. That's far out. Hey, I tell you what. If I can find on Google Satellite a Phil Hendry banner on the roof of somebody's house, I'll give you $1,000. I don't know. How often do they take the picture, though? $1,000 every time I see the Phil Hendry Show on the roof of somebody's house on Google Satellite. Now, it means just putting it up there ain't going to get it done. But you can email us and tell us, hey, check Google Satellite because I'm there. See, I ain't giving it to charity. I'm giving it to guys that are putting dopey signs on their roofs for some freaking, flying saucer shot. Finally, here's one from Steve. I involuntarily lose bladder fluid every time I replay the Brass Villanueva classic, quote, my honor demanded it because the street's watching. There's probably like 12 houses on my street, and 6 of them are watching. And finally, here's one from Ryan. He said, this is a Lloyd quote, do you know this lady? My bear ham hock, you don't know that lady. I'll bet you go out on a Friday night, and the two of you press ham. So there it is. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, Father James McWhorters. And life is sweet.
Hello, everyone. This is Father James McWhorters. I'm calling today from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, to remind you that life can be a sweet and wonderful tasting fruit. Life is like a very ripe mango. You bite into it and the juice drips down your face, down your neck, and right down onto your chest. That's right. And then you lick it off with your tongue. Life can be that and more. But so many of us don't appreciate life. So many of us complain that they're not making enough money. So many of us complain that they don't have enough in this world. And I can tell you that you can have enough if you call this number. 1-800-FATHER-MCWHORTERS would like a boy to come to the...
All right, man, get him out of here.
Hey, what is this, a frame?
You know, Bud, every time he calls up...
No, he said he wanted to raise money.
I know he wants to raise money. He wants to raise money for some boy service. That sick guy. That's the guy that came on last week and said he used to be an Irish cop. And while he wasn't violent anymore, how he loved to beat a suspect over the head with a flashlight. 1-800-4... Ain't that right, Father?
Where's my music?
Your stupid music. Ain't that right?
That's right. That's right. Some guy has to give me a hard time. I'm not supposed to take it out. I'm not supposed to get a little payback.
You suck. 1-800-449-8686. Hello, everyone. I'm Father James McWhorters. Life is sweet, like a mango fruit. All right, now we're going to have a webcast coming up on Friday, 1 week from today. And the webcast is a way for you to watch us do our show. You may wonder, how is the show done and what way and what configuration? I often get these questions. How exactly do you make this happen, Phil? Well, you can see with your own eyes, with your own bloodshot eyes, on Friday, 1 week from tonight, if you get a backstage pass, $6.95, and check out the show. And what you do is go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, hit the subscribe button. There's a bunch of them. Get yourself a backstage pass, and you can watch the show. Now, we got three cameras in here, and really, we don't go out of our way to do anything different from what we usually do. And I often get a lot of comments from people who will say things like, I heard you screening the calls, and you used a dirty word. Well, it's not that I'm trying. In other words, you're getting a look at how it happens. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, In fact, the last one we did, I thought I would come on as Herb Sewell. And screw that, man. I don't have any time for that, you know? We have to what? Watch the profanity this time? Said who? You know, I'll talk to Trevor. We're not watching any profanity, Trevor. Do you understand? Every time you tell me that I can't do something, all you do is you make me very, very angry. Who was it directed at? Well, as far as the webcast goes, we will do this show the way we do this show in the creative environment. And I don't want any technocrats from this company who know nothing about how this radio show is done, who absolutely know nothing about how it's executed, who, by the way, don't know anything about what's in my contract, telling me what I can't say off the freaking air on a webcast that's being paid for. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All I got to say is thank God, thank my lucky stars that we have this radio show and that there are more people appreciative of it than just Clear Channel. Let me just put it that way. The best way I can put it. Now that I'm, what are you looking at, Bud?
You're all pissed off.
You're right, I am.
Why don't you calm down? You're all in a heap.
Sorry, but it's when he held up that sign.
Why don't you let it go? Here, have a cigarette.
Oh, don't mind if I do.
Want a tissue?
What do you mean a tissue? I don't want a tissue.
Well, you look like you're crying.
I don't need a tissue.
Go ahead, here, have a cigar.
Well, I am a little tense.
Here, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Well, that's nice. Cohiba, huh?
Sure. I don't like to see you get all wound up.
Yeah, you're very kind, bud.
Yeah, let me just give you a light for that. It's great. Phil? Hey, Phil.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What are you doing?
I'm wiping my mouth off. What do you think I'm doing?
Boy, that sounds nasty. Well, you're in trouble now.
It's from the freaking cigar that you gave me that blew up. What are you talking about? You know, some of these policies just, the world is, will don't worry about it. The world will finally right itself, and we're going to find our equilibrium. But in the meantime, we have gone from bad to worse in terms of behavior. I really believe the worst Nazi on earth is the guy in the next cubicle, not the president, not the governor, not the senator, not the cop. It's the guy working next to you. That fascist will have you busted before you know it. That guy is writing everything down that you say, and sooner or later you're going to be called on the carpet for it. Watch it, man. I ain't kidding you. The inner office memos that I see bear no resemblance whatsoever to anything sensible or even legal. Stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. Stuff about, you know, let me give an example. This is a creative workspace. You know, you write shows here. Where I work, we were writing and we're talking about what we want to do in the air. You cannot control that environment. You cannot say, don't say sexist things. You can't do that. That's not how writers work. That's not how creative people work. If you edit the process by which somebody is creating, even before he edits himself, you're getting nothing but crap. In other words, watch television. See if, you know, if what you see on TV, man, if you really think that that's some solid out of the ballpark stuff, good luck. Everybody running around with their freaking saliva coming out of their face for Desperate Housewives. Hey, you want to know, I've watched, and the OC, man, I watched like a half hour of that crap. It's the same thing. It's the same freaking soap opera, man. Different actors, different hairdos, different shoe shine freaking hair, different nose ring. Same stuff. Right? So, and what do you suppose? Because you can't say certain stuff. You can't do certain stuff. Same thing about around here, man. We're trying to write a show, and you don't like the four-letter words that are coming out of the office while we're writing it. That's why I've decided to retire. I am moving to my own island. It's going to be in the South Pacific, where there is a volcano. And I'm going to sit there and wait for it to explode, the entire island. And I'm going to be like that old guy that was on the side of that mountain up in Washington. When that thing goes, man, they won't find trace one of me. They'll call up and they'll say, can we evacuate you, Mr. Hendry? No, I don't want to be evacuated.
Don't do it. I can't do the show without you.
Now you're going to have to do it without me, bud. It'll be the Bud Dickman Show, and you can do your own fake voices. I'm leaving the air, folks. I'm leaving it for good. This time I mean it. And I am going to the South Pacific, where I have purchased an island that's volcanic. Now, what's wrong with that? All you cats have been emailing me like the last year. Don't retire, Phil. You said you were going to retire. Now you're just kidding. I was kidding then. I'm not kidding now. I'm going to a volcanic island that is powered by bat crap. There's a huge deposit of bat guano. You ever heard of it? Honest to God. Like bird crap all over the island, and the natives, the ones that will be working for me, use it to fuel the different things that I need. And so, in other words, they'll collect some bird crap to keep the solar heat going, whatever the hell, I don't know how they do it. Some guy in a freaking grass skirt, he knows the whole thing. I talked to him on the phone. I talked to him on his cell phone. He's a Polynesian guy, man. He used to be a split end in the NFL, and he went back to Samoa. And I'm done, man. I don't even want to write. I don't want to write a book. I don't want to do any art. I don't want to. You know how like people get old and they write? Forget that. I want no contact whatsoever. I'm going to go work with lepers in India. I'm going to die of leprosy. That's what I want. I want no part of this business again as long as I live. I don't want TV.
Are you going to write to me?
No, I won't even write to you. I'm not even going to use ink. I'm not going to do anything other than just sit there and wait to die.
SOS. How about some Morse?
I got your Morse swinging. Beep, 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 beep. You mean that stuff?
Yeah.
You don't even know what it means. What does this mean?
Beep, 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 beep. SOS?
No, it doesn't mean anything. I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. Yeah, well, you know, I've given as much as I can to this business. I basically, what we did with this radio show is we presented radio with the opportunity to see itself as a theatrical medium. They don't want to pick the ball up and run with it. It's their business, okay? They want to turn it over to all the other hacks that are in this freaking sitting behind a microphone night after night. Some cat didn't want me doing my politics. Somebody else would like to be more laughs. Somebody says you got to do more politics. You know what? I'm done. I'm finished. Through. I quit. I resign. I'm firing myself. I'm walking out of the studio tonight, and I'll never be back. And I'm going to a volcanic island in the South Pacific, and I'm going to live there as an animist. I'm going to live there worshiping pagan gods. That's right. I'll reject my Catholicism, and I will resort. And if you think I'm kidding, I will send pictures that we will have on my website, because we'll keep the website active for 6 months after I leave. I will resort to cannibalism. I'm going to take with me people, and the minute they make me angry, I'll kill them and I'll eat them. I'll put them in a big freaking cauldron, and I'll make a stew out of it. And you will see pictures of me crouched in the earth, gnawing on someone's thigh bone like an animal. Having not bathed or shaved for weeks, months. And it'll say, former radio funny man Phil Hendry, gnawing on the thigh bone of a dear friend. Because that's how I'm feeling about the human race right now. Okay, what else? Ah, that's about it. As soon as I get there, and I'm going to be taking a boat, I'll burn the boat and sink it in the harbor. In other words, I'm going to Pitcairn Island. Visit me there. Oh, God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, that I love alpacas. I'm getting some of those. You know those alpacas on TV? I'm buying about 10 of those. I'm going to milk them and, you know, whatever the hell you can do with them. Make alpaca burgers? What the hell? What do you sell them for? Look at those nice animals. And the guy's leading it around. You know the people that buy those alpacas, they want to slaughter them for alpaca meat. And they show them as if they're pets. It's the craziest thing. It ain't going to work, guy. I love alpacas.com. Remember that ostrich kick that everybody was on? I'm telling you, ostrich. You know, I've had an ostrich burger. It's great. I'm not kidding. It's damn good. But nobody wants to eat them because it sounds funky. Nobody even wants to eat a chicken burger. People want chicken. They don't want no chicken burger. So just give it up, man. And an ostrich fillet. Now you want to lay on me alpaca burger, alpaca.com? Forget it, man. I'm not eating anything that looks like a poodle. And you can take that to the bank. I ain't eating anything that looks like an oversized poodle, Jim. Take that to the bank. All right.
Take it to the bank?
Right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, in the middle of that whole thing I was doing about, you know, how disgusted I was with the radio business, which is something that I do every few months, I looked up and I saw that alpaca commercial, right? I went, what? So I went to the website, I Love Alpacas. There's something so wrong with this. I can't put my finger on it. Because it starts out, yes, I love alpacas, and you will too. And they can't get away from the fact that it's an investment potential. Now, they are kind of cute-looking animals. I wouldn't want one around because it's kind of like a cross between I don't know what it is, man. It looks like a giraffe and a something and a dog. And it's furry and it's cute, but they keep going down to their investment potential, investment potential. Yes, a stress-free life and the investment potential. Now, you look and you say, well, what are you selling? They're selling the fur or the fiber. It shows some kid hugging one. Now, what could be more, you know, what could possibly get to you more than a little kid that's hugging an animal, right? Raising alpacas is a lifestyle and investment available to many, from the empty nester to a family with children to the professional looking for an outlet to daily stress. Well, what's that about? What, do you make friends with one? While the individual and family who has decided to experience the alpaca adventure are widely diverse, they... You know what I'd say to the cat that's running this whole website? Give it up, man. Give it up. Nobody wants your alpaca. And then I go further down and I keep reading this investment thing. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I think they're breeding them for their meat. That's right. I think they want to roast them. So a little kid puts his arms around it 1 minute and the next minute it's spinning on a spit. God! How wrong? I'm telling you, I hate Al-Qaeda, but I hate alpaca even more. No, I'm kidding. They're probably very fine. I think they're really cute. I don't think you should butcher them alive for their meat, but what the hell? Maybe the chops are rather tender. Raising alpacas is a labor of love. Yeah, well, you better love them fast, because the next thing you know, man, pork chops. All right, we'll be back someday. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.